Ghoulies Night. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And this is Bomb the Blue Fez.
Ghoulies, mate.
And this is Mint in the Box, Blue Fez 1. I can't wait to roast that third movie. God damn it.
The Creature Stinks Among Us.
Oh, I knew there was a reason I stayed away from that movie.
We'll talk about it.
Wait, say that again.
Do it. Say it.
Who says? You amaze me sometimes.
Yeah, come on.
Oscar's in the can, taking 2020 like a shot in the mouth. Welcome, fellow inmates. This is the Blue Fez, and today's therapy session, we'll be talking about our favorite robots, androids, AIs, in books, movies, television, and comics, you name it. We've watched it, read it, consumed it, stuffed it in our pants, whatever. But we're going to talk about our favorite robots, so let's get started. Excellent, Dr. Head. Excellent, excellent. We all need a little Johnny Sacco in our lives, don't we? And that comes to me. So what's my favorite robot? So I've been a huge robot fan since I was a kid. When I was thinking about this, I wasn't sure how I was going to narrow this down to one or two, because since a young child, I've just been enamored with the concept of robots, artificial life, anything like that. In fact, when I got my first Erector set when I was a kid, I was very disappointed when I found out there were not enough parts to build a robot. I got maybe a foot done. And I was like, well, this isn't going to get me anywhere. So, you know, there weren't enough Tinker Toys, Lincoln Logs, Erector sets in the world to realize my unholy creation. So I just kind of put that by the side. But when it comes to, like, robots right now, I'm going to narrow it down to one. And the reason I do that is because it was such a novel approach to the thought of what a robot could be, or artificial life. And that is Christopher Nolan's Interstellar with the robots TARS and CASE. I mean, yeah, that's an obvious homage to 2001, and that the robots look like the monolith itself. But it was such a departure in what we've seen before. At this point, here was a mechanism that made no attempt to look like a human being, or even anything bipedal with arms or something we could recognize, like, say, iRobot or Bicentennial Man or whatever. It's just this giant slab that talked with a computer screen on the front, and when it needed to move, the sections would break apart to allow it to, you know, kind of around and stuff like that. And also, on top of the practical effect, shooting it in the movie, which was puppeteered, that really just kind of blew my mind, because I appreciated that somebody said, okay, well, we're gonna craft this story, we're gonna have robots in it, but we want to do something different. We're gonna take that sort of practicality and make it so, like, so minimalist. One might even argue it's like an example of brutalism. So minimalist that it's just pure function almost. There's almost no design, except that it's so simple. And I just absolutely loved that. And, you know, whether you like or hate the movie, you know, whatever, I personally loved it. But the robots, for me, that was just that I remember seeing that. And Dr. Head, like you were talking about, you know, if you see Johnny Sacco now, you get that kind of like, oh, I feel like a kid again. And I saw that. I'm just thinking, yeah, the 8-year-old me would have just been like, oh, wait, I don't need to make it look human. I can make it look like a slab. Oh, yeah, I can do this.
It's like, Dad, I need you to cut me some timber. We're putting this thing together, you know, out in the garage. And I was so excited when I saw that, because it was just, it was an interesting approach to just, to, you know, just what a robot could be, you know, the AI, the different approaches to AI and the two different versions, TARS, of course, both of them being retired military robots, one being a little bit more of a, you know, authoritarian, and the other one was just like kind of chill, like, oh yeah, this guy's the mouthy one. He's kind of a badass. I mean, I just like to hang out and do shit, you know, stuff like that. I really kind of appreciated that. I've seen some pretty good cosplay. Some people have put some cosplay where they build these things, and they're like kind of like how they puppeteered them in the movie. They're standing behind them, and they've got the various parts on rods, and they're in a black suit, and they're just walking behind them, and they've got like an iPad for the screen. I'm like,
that's cool.
That's just so cool. But yeah, you know, you have to give them credit for just thinking, you know, way outside the box on this, on what a machine could be, you know, as almost pure function. And it was just a revelation for me, and I loved it. And so, and beyond that, I mean, if I had to pick a number two, I was going to throw in Gadfly when you're talking about B9. B9 was probably the only thing that I, as a kid, I was a Star Trek snob. I hated Lost in Space. The minute I loved the technology. I loved the ship. I loved the chariot, all of that stuff. I loved the robot. But every time I watched that, I was just hoping that somebody would flip a switch on B9 and he would strangle Dr. Smith. Just get him out of the way.
Amen, brother.
Just broke me nuts. I'm like, you know what? Get rid of the humans. I'll just stick with the machines. And I would enjoy the show much.
Go back to crush, kill, destroy, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But you notice they really didn't tackle that subject in Star Trek. I mean, they had a couple episodes where they had humanoid robots.
Nomad.
Yeah. Or yeah. In the
V'ger.
Commander Pike. He wasn't really a robot, but what was he? You know?
Can you see my red
cyborg
light?
There's a cyborg for you right there.
As the machine.
He was in the extractor.
But when they finally tackled it on Next Gen with Data was, you know, and I think a lot of that's owed to Brent Spiner's performance and carrying that. And there were, touched on some, you know, Isaac Asimov sort of topics in the show. Dealing with it, can he be experimented on? Is he a citizen or is he product? Is he property? Is he owned by Starfleet? And when I kind of appreciated that.
I'll give the antithesis to who I brought up, who is R. Daniel Olivault, is the Terminator.
Mm.
You know, he's the opposite. He's the killing machine.
No, it's opposite.
And he is, he is uniquely... his uniquely accented robotic voice is great.
Yeah, which is interesting because I think, you know, the concept of, artificial life robots, this goes back centuries. We've been, I think humanity as a whole has been fascinated with this concept going back to the Greeks and the Romans. You look at all the major civilizations, they have some sort of mechanical device, man, whatever, in their mythology, or they created something like a toy or something to amuse the royals, something like that. But on top of that fascination, there's also the fear. So we have to think that these things could get smart enough to replace us and take over. So it's like that. Oh, we love the idea of making them, but we're also repelled by the idea that they could one day just like, you guys are done. You're out. Snuff us.
Yeah. Because they've been focusing on like very human like androids here recently.
Yes.
Because like we have Ex Machina, which is a great movie.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So good.
Yes. Ending.
And then Westworld came back as a TV series, which I really liked the first two seasons.
Yes.
First season. The third is brutal. I mean, it's just mean. You're like,
It is.
So I think there's a ton of stuff, you know, and then we have Blade Runner, which are they even androids? Are they?
Well, they're
humans?
Replicants. That's why they're called replicants.
Right.
That's left to be kind of vague as to exactly what they
like
would
a clone,
be.
Almost
they
like a clone.
Are, Well, they are like clones. I mean, they are organically based to a large degree, and then genetically modified. So they're not really robots. You know, they're not. And there's mechanics. Yeah, biomechanics. You know, doesn't really enter into it, but it's genetic engineering. So I don't think they would be considered robots.
No, they would be robots, but I think in the terms of artificial life or synthetic life, I think it's just like
in synthetic life. Yes, yeah, they are synthetic life. You're right,
and I would add that to this list. It's just further down the line. Gadfly, you're right. And also to speak to Dr. Head, I loved Westworld, the movie, when I was a kid. I was like, what a great concept. And then I saw the new Westworld TV show as an adult, and I'm watching this going, oh, yeah, this is a terrible idea. This concept of a park where you can let people do whatever they want to machines, this is awful. I was, like, watching the show kind of like, it's like an abject form. It's like, oh, this is terrifying because, you know, that's probably what would happen if you gave people the ability to go into this environment. They'd be like, so I can do anything. Okay. And I'm like, and what if the machines got to a point where after they keep getting rebooted, that memories stick and start to flood down and affect their current consciousness. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. You raped me last time you were here. Yeah. Crack. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that was.
Yeah, oh yeah, there we go. It's, you know, AI enters into it in a big way, which is absolutely. The, you know, and then that makes absolute sense. It, you know, as an evolution to how we look at things, and how things are today, because AI is a reality. It's not
absolutely
a science fiction concept anymore.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, you've got Star Wars, which has droids, and I think. Some of the evolution in the, like, the Mandalorian and some of the later ones where you get something a little bit more interesting, you know, in terms of how they're handling the the mechanics of the droids, because now they have computer animation and all that kind of stuff. That bounty hunter android in the Mandalorian.
IG-11?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. It was great. Yeah. And it had a really good arc, too. You know what I mean? Like, just he was saved by Nick Nolte. Fucking A.
Yeah. Assassin droid turned into a babysitter. I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. Most lethal babysitter ever.
Yeah. Really good.
All right. Well, there we have it, folks. Robots, AI, androids.
Oh, we forgot Tweaky.
Beady, beady.
Yes, we did.
On purpose.
You know, we almost got out of this without Tweaky, and that you had to bring it up.
Well, now we know where Flavor Flav got his idea.
Beady, beady, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Where the clock.
We're going to beady, beady you.
Ned, beady, beady you.
You sure got a beady, beady.
Squeal.
Matt's a little piggish.
Pretty, pretty.
All right, there we go, folks. Robots, we love them. Now we hate them, thanks to Tweaky. Thank you, Tar. Anyone else? Final words? Except for Tar. Somebody mute him before he says Tweaky.
You sure do have pretty lips. Ted Beady Beady.
Squeal like a Tweaky.
Beady Beady.
That it?
All right, and you've been listening to Who Are We?
Radio. Everybody knows who we are.
I wasn't that ready for that. I had to get mentally prepared.
That's what happens when you drop a Tweaky in the middle.
UnsaneRadio@gmail.com. That's how you can reach us. We're all
tweaky
at
Grindr.
Swipe left.
Robot Grindr.
Swipe left.
Radio Unsane at Twitter. We Freaks on Facebook. I think there's an Unsane Radio on Facebook.
Mark Justice Writer on Facebook. Mark's in the midst of a new book. Hey,
yes,
cranking this baby out.
Yeah, I think it'll
he's
be
writing as we speak.
That's right. Why am I here?
Two-fisted.
Well, you're here to right some wrongs.
Right.
Beady, beady.
You have a tweaky in both fists? What's going on?
Yeah. Is that what I'm calling it now? I've been tweaking with both fists since I was 12.
I've been beady enough.
Hold on. I just got a new thing of lotion, too. So
it puts the lotion on, or it gets the beady again.
Or it gets the hose again.
Where's that beady, beady sock?
Oh,
beady, beady.
Oh,
put wait. The dog in the basket, beady.
Or do I go with the crunchy?
Crunchy.
Yeah.
That's friction like for your affliction.
I need to exfoliate.
All I got to say is he gonna fuck that little dog.
Peanut butter pussy. Smooth, creamy, and easy to spread.
Thank you, Shakes.
And this episode has officially gone off. We are all going to need some extra therapy now.
Medication time. Later.
Body of Pinky. Amen.
1988. Yeah, it was a Spanish movie. And it starred the little guy from, I can't believe his name, but he was in Island of Dr. Moreau with...
Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Oh, and
little guy. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we watched the trailer. Yeah, that's going on Bad Movie Night. We're watching that. We're so totally watching that.
That's a great scene where he's climbing out of a toilet.
Yeah, it's spectacular. can't wait.
Another one to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, Dr. Head, you said something interesting, though, that these movies, they're all based on phobias, or they're exploiting these phobias. And then, Dr. Carr, you mentioned that these started coming out in the 1950s, and you know, one has to wonder if this was just like, the monster stuff isn't working anymore. What do we do? Oh, what if we do movies about people, things people are afraid of, like spiders and monkeys and, you know, slugs and whatever. And yeah, that I'm with you, Dr. Head. The stuff never really did anything for me. It didn't make me creeped out. I just kind of watched it. In fact, if anything, I usually laughed during them. I found them more hilarious than anything. I enjoy them because they're so ridiculous. But
yeah, that's the entertainment value. It is kind of silly. And every time the Night of the Lepus is on, I will watch it. And the scenes of these slow moving rabbits gets me every time, man. It almost makes you want to get a Winnebago and drive out in the desert. And just hope to be surrounded by a sea
of giant bunnies.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's going to be a lot of poop in the morning.
Yeah.
A lot of poop.
What about Tremors? Are the vermin?
Oh, see, Dr. Tarr and I, we had this discussion.
I didn't think they would be.
I think they are.
Oh, now monsters, I thought. What I was saying, well, you know, like rats and things you find pests around your house and stuff like that, but amplified or whatever goes
like
on.
Like in-laws.
Yes. It's a whole nother movie.
Yeah. I think Tremors qualifies as vermin. They're tearing up this town. It's like Critters. Critters is one of my favorite ones. They're space vermin.
Space vermin.
And there were even the alien guys that were there to clean them up. You know, yeah. They're kind of like exterminators. Gilchrist, you know, that's a great movie. I love that. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, it is a fun movie.
A dovetail off of Swarm, can we then slither into Squirm?
Oh, yeah. Right.
But
you can go with Worm Eaters, too. So
yeah. But then it gets back to the discussion, like, are worms vermin? They're not technically vermin. They're actually beneficial. Right. But
Yeah.
So are bees. Not the killer ones. Yeah. I guess.
That's a pretty wide category there, Gadfly. So that depends. Spaceship Troopers, actually, wouldn't the humans be the vermin in that movie?
Yeah.
Aren't they always?
Okay, that... Right. There you go.
Has no one seen Avatar?
Then if you're going on that basis, then I agree. Yes, absolutely. I have not seen that. I'm putting that on the list. You, as if you have to warn me about it.
Right. Hey, how's Voodoo doing, John?
Still hanging in there.
Good.
Still hanging in there.
And Suzanne, how's she doing?
Yeah.
Still hanging in there.
I'm getting ready to pull my trigger now. Yeah.
Four times.
Hey.
Yeah.
How do I shut off a video feed?
Hey, I was just going to say.
There's a way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like best of Euro trash meets the worst of horror cinema.
Oh, yes.
Wait, say that again.
I can say that.
Do it. Say it.
Blue Fez, you amaze me sometimes.
Say it. Come on.
Oscar's in the can, taking 2020 like a shot in the mouth. And this is Mint in the Box, Blue Fez.